game day is underway. This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors. Live from Tailgaters Parking, here are your hosts, Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser.
You know it!
Oh, man.
Let's go, Jags!
J-A-G-S.
Woo!
We get you fired up for pregame because we are fired up for pregame.
I have a proclamation
to make. It's a Wingstop Kickoff Show, doggone it. We're live at Tailgaters, where the throngs of people excited for today's game is palpable.
A proclamation from the Wingstop Kickoff
Show. Oh, boy.
Today is Armageddon. You've got to find things to motivate. Mm-hmm. And this is what is going to motivate the Wingstop Kickoff Show, a.k.a. the Drill Light, going forward.
Drill Light.
This is the day.
Okay.
If the Jags win, we stay in, men. If the Jags lose today, can you hear me, Urban? If the Jags lose today, I'm done.
You're done.
I'm out.
What does that mean?
It's over.
Does that mean you're not?
Season done. No more visits to the bar. No more tailgaters. We're shutting her down, boys. So you better cheer a little bit louder, and you better find us a way to get a win today. Because this crap's got to stop. If we can't beat the freaking Falcons, are we doing?
You seem to be blaming the tailgater staff in some way.
I'm blaming the staff. They're half-assing it over there. Guys, get your stuff together. I kid because I care. They do a great job. Listen to me. Come on. This is the one.
Yeah.
Draft Talk Monday.
Is that what we're doing? DTM?
That's what we're doing.
DTM.
That's what we're doing.
I dubbed it earlier this week. It's the North Florida pillow fight. Not quite
I don't
the same.
Care. We
not quite win. The same antagonism you feel from Florida, Georgia when the college teams meet these two states.
The Jags,
a little different here today.
The Jags need to put a brick in the pillow and hit the Falcons upside the head.
What does this place look like on Florida, Georgia Saturday about right now, I wonder?
Uh-huh.
A little different, you think?
Don't care.
A little more college football passion
for
that
matchup. Day.
It's the rivalry.
It's a beautiful
it's the
day.
Border War, Dan.
It's wonderful weather. It's crisp football
it
weather.
It is beautiful, yeah.
Must go out.
I overdressed.
Trevor, damn it, man. Put the Subway sandwiches down. I'm tired of the commercial already.
Come on, man.
I need you to get out there and sling the ball around, big fella.
Somehow I got a sandwich yesterday, and I do this every year. What kind did I get?
Mm-hmm.
Turkey. Who does that?
Yeah.
I mean, who gets a turkey sandwich on Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah, that was poor choice.
Get a meatball sub. I don't know, something.
Roast beef, even.
Huh?
Roast beef.
It's turkey I've eaten in a whole farm.
Anything
but turkey. Why, Jeff? I do it all the time.
I did the same thing yesterday. That's weird.
There you go.
Hammer,
me and Hammer. Hammer felt compelled.
Hammer,
how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one?
Oh, it was great, man.
Does Hammer have a girl?
Yeah, I have a wife. I'm married.
Oh, okay, good. Well, good. That's
and
good.
A girl.
Well, there you go. I like that. That's a good answer.
Hammer, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, married young.
Look at you.
Look at
true
you.
Love. Yes, you're romantic.
High school sweetie, Hammer?
No, college.
All
good.
Right. All right, well
look at
done.
You.
Well
wow.
done. Does she ever look at you, Hammer, and say, listen, friend, this working on the weekend stuff, not going to fly much longer.
She's
get a real job.
She's not the happiest about it, but she's good with it. You
she's
know.
Good. She supports you and your dreams.
She's very supportive, yes.
All right, good.
She might very quietly be glad to have a little alone time.
That's probably true.
What's the Hammer's wife's name? Let's
Morgan.
Shout out to her.
Morgan.
Hammer
shout
and Morgan.
Out, yeah.
The good. Morgan and Hammer.
Well, it'd be cool if her last name was Arm, but that just didn't happen. Didn't work out that way.
Not quite.
Then there's Gibby. He'll be getting married.
Gibby's got coming. You're going to be betrothed. When's your wedding?
March 26th.
Yeah, is it here in town? No, we've
St.
asked
Augustine.
This question.
Yeah, yes. St. Augustine.
Nice.
Gipster's
and this is where I say the blank, and he goes, no, not there, somewhere else.
Yes. No.
I have the same. I'm like a, you know, like some sort of PSA for early Alzheimer's. That's the same questions every week.
Ooh.
Get the same answers.
Well, here we go. So the Jags and the Falcons get after it today. The Jags, obviously, and I'll tell you another reason why this is such an important game. They got L.A. and Tennessee coming up the next 2 weeks.
It's important for the playoff chances, is it?
No, it's important to get some wins.
I hear you.
It's our last shot to get to five.
Can't because
man.
I care. I'm in a holiday mood. Listen,
No more chances.
There's not a bigger, more esteemed expert witness in the art of Atlanta failure than me.
Yeah.
We're good, bro.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay? I've spent 50 years following Atlanta sports franchises, and what they do is lose. So, yeah, we good, bro. as they say on the street. We good.
You are coming off a world champion.
Yeah, well, that's right. The Braves are the only Atlanta team that has any kind of championship DNA. The rest of them are all sorry. The Falcons are sorry.
Yeah.
They can't get to the quarterback. They're on the pace that the Jags had last year. They are depleted from injuries and otherwise.
Yes.
They're terrible. They've lost the last two games 68-3. I would be shocked if the Jags don't win the game today if they continue to play with that, I don't know, want to. I mean, I'll give Urban credit on one regard.
Uh-huh.
The team has continued to fight.
Yes.
Right? For the most part, they've continued to fight. So I know there are injury issues, and we'll get to those as we move along.
Yes.
But again, I will take the stand as the expert witness in the art of the colossal Atlanta incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not coming down here on a chilly name for a game that means nothing and win. It's not what Atlanta does.
Well, let's hope not, because this is a big game for the Jaguars and for all the reasons why I've stated. And they've got to go out there and somehow ignite. And ignite's probably too strong a word. Let me give you an analogy.
Okay. Well, I like
Reagan, BWR says to me last night, honey.
It's beautiful wife Reagan, for those of you who don't listen to the drill and only the Tailgate Kickoff Show.
Honey, would you build me a fire?
That's what she said to you?
I say, sure, honey.
I love the fire.
So it's
Is this a real story? A real
metaphor?
Story. Yes. From the holiday weekend?
Yes.
I've been trying forever to get you, you know, more fire engaged. You know me, I had one all day yesterday. 65 degrees. I got the smoke coming out of the chimney.
I said, let's have a fire. I said, okay, let's have a fire. So I go, there's a log in there. I go get a starter log as well. I don't have any newspaper anymore. The newspaper doesn't come anymore.
Yeah.
So the one time I need it, I don't have it. So I get a box and I rip the box up
and
shove the box underneath for some kindling, if you will. Some stuff to get the fire going. And I get the fire going. And I can't, you know, the log won't catch. It's burning. It's fire, but it's not a beautiful fire. Okay.
Okay.
It's just a fire on the side. That's what I need from the Jags offense. I'm not going to get a beautiful fire today.
Something.
I know that.
Yeah.
But I need it to stay lit.
Yeah, something.
All right.
Keep me
warm. I need
it
to stay lit.
Yeah.
And I need it to get some points. Now, I don't need a lot of points because I might have the under. But that's a different story.
Now. Yeah.
But I need the points.
Okay. But for the record, today's mark of degeneration, 8:07 a.m.
Thank you very much.
We made it till 7 before some,
thank you,
you know, point spread or
– That's how.
Or
you know.
Side, maybe.
I mean,
the show.
Let's not hide behind it.
Well, it is what
let's
it is.
Let's embrace it. But
correct.
My point is, because you're not going to get a blazing fire, just like me building a fire. I'm not that good of a fire builder, but I can get it going.
Yeah.
Well, you got to at least get it going today.
Well,
the Jags haven't gotten it going the last 2 weeks, man.
And it'd be nice if you have a completely healthy.
I thought that was a tremendous story, metaphor, analogy.
Well, you know, that's right. You're not looking for a blaze. You just want a spark that
spark.
Will at least
burn
smolder.
Throughout.
At least smolder
burn
a little bit.
Burn throughout the day for 3 hours.
I hear you. It won't be easier without Jamal Agnew. Amazingly, the Jags' most explosive offensive player was a free agent afterthought as a special teamer. But they did bring back Jadon Mickens. This week. He's kind of a poor man's Agnew, right? He did those sorts of things here as far as that spot being filled.
I think Jadon Mickens caught two tutties against Houston during the 17th season late in December in the big Jaguar slobber knocking of the Texans.
Yeah,
that's what I remember. I think he's the kid who stayed in his car when he was trying out for the team.
We can settle, now that the season is longer and longer, we can really settle into what's been the most pleasant surprises and the biggest disappointments. And partly by injury and just partly by play, the pass game weapons just still
well, we
very
know that.
Disappointing.
We know that. So you know what we got to do? We've chronicled this. Fellas, come on in here. I'm Coach Bevel. You're not very good. You're really not. You can't get open. There's
you're
no
Coach
separation.
Bevel, you're talking to
I'm
yourself?
I'm talking to the guys right now.
You guys, said not very good. I thought you were talking to yourself.
You and Gibby are my receivers.
Okay.
Guys, you're terrible.
Thank you,
I mean,
Coach.
You haven't done anything all year. Here, I've got the numbers here of all the wide receivers.
What am I at, Coach?
Jeff, you're 146th in receptions in the NFL.
What have I got, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gibby, you've got 14 for
how many drops?
36 yards, and you lead the team with 9 drops, Gibby. So,
Coach.
So here's what I'm thinking,
all right,
guys.
What do you need, Coach? Whatever you want. I'll run through a wall for you.
I know you will. That's what I like about you guys. You don't give up. You fight to the end. But I'm going to need you guys to help each other out, okay?
All right.
I'm going to need you, Gibby, because you'll drop it anyway. So I'm going to need you to just sort of rub into Jeff's guy because Jeff can't get open. He's terrible. But if you rub into his guy, he might have a chance to get a step, and then Trevor can zip him with about a 9-yard slant, and then we can convert a first down, which would be
Coach,
novel.
What about yak? Should we try to yak?
No, if you catch it, go down. Don't even fight. Just catch the ball. That's all I ask.
We can't be thinking about two things pre-snap. One is all we can handle.
I know you want to go deep, but you're just too slow.
You sure?
I need a sundial to time you for the 40.
Wow.
So, Gibby, rub routes. You just rub into them. Don't hit them, Gibby. Don't get an OPI, okay? Just sort of rub into them. You guys help each other out and create some open opportunities for Trevor to get the football down the field. Can we try that this week?
You know, it was interesting that Urban, you know, finally put a little, you know, fire to the feet of the offensive staff. Apparently unaware that he, too, is part of the offensive staff. But nonetheless, you can't help but feel like this is we're going to hit the tail stretch of a see where you are season, and there's going to be more massive change next year on both the personnel and coaching fronts.
And, again, I just caution you on that to be careful if you're doing that to Trevor Lawrence. Everything this year
that's fair.
Is about Trevor Lawrence, because here's why. And I'm just a big
that we don't want to be there. He's on his fourth coordinator in fifth year.
And here's how that happens. You're just not satisfied with Bevel because you got a crappy team. Well, and you don't have enough around Trevor, so you change Bevel for change's sake. That's a mistake, and I'll tell you why. Because then if Urban doesn't make it through year two, then you get a new coach, and then you're on your third OC years.
And I get it, but you also can't operate under the assumption you're going to fail.
No, you can't.
So if you're Urban Meyer, you're trying to
take a strong look at what is Bevel doing that you don't like versus how bad is our being realistic.
And you have
to
do it specifically, because for me and the criticism I would make, and I think it's valid, I mean, we can go through every piece of film, is that other teams get guys open with their play calls and we don't. And that's a problem. And I know you'll say, the wheel route, that's great. That's one we, you know, really recall of a wide open guy that Trevor missed. I'm talking about even the easy throws, the throws into the flat, the 7-yard outs. I watch other teams. And there's no one within 4 or 5 yards of their receiver. It seems like we got somebody draped at all points. So I'm very, you know, disappointed with the creativity, with the execution, you know, with a lot of the performances of the offense as a whole. And we should be. They're averaging 15 points, you know, 15.8 a game, for Pete's sake. You know how terrible that is?
That's not good.
That has got to be on pace. As bad as the Jaguars have been at times in their career, this may be their worst ever. Would 15.8 be the worst ever? Or did maybe Gus's first year? I mean, Malarkey's year, they won 2 games, but they scored some points. They were in games.
Yeah.
And they've been in games. I'm not putting this team, like, overall as bad as the Gus team and the Malarkey team and some others. And that last year's team, this team isn't that bad. They're fighting. They're staying in games. Need to get some wins here. I still think it's important. I still think we can shoot for – we got a lot of football left, Hick.
Yes, we do.
I mean, there's 7 games left. There's a lot of time to win 4 of your last 7, get to 6, and your quarterback. But more important than anything, Dan, and now it's not about making me feel good or you feel good with what you see. Because we've said about Trevor. I want to feel good.
This is the day, Jeff Prosser. This is the last November football game.
Line
we
in the sand.
We got to draw it. Yeah. We got to draw. We got to find motivation from within. And this is the motivation, man. Draft talk on Monday if this doesn't happen.
Oof.
I mean, we have got to go get a W today against the ATL Falcons in the worst way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, again, like you said, 3 points. Now, look, they're going to come out and play. They want to win, too. It's the same thing. They got a new coach. It's, you know, who's over there? Arthur Smith?
Arthur Smith,
Treacher's Fish and Chips guy?
Mm-hmm. Arthur Smith, yeah.
Yeah. So, we this is a big game. And look, Patterson's going to be back. We'll talk about that in the injury report a little bit, but looks like he will.
He's an interesting football player.
And I'll tell you this, he's a good player, but the guy, it's not like he's averaging 6 yards a carry. He's like 3.9, bro.
He's a big play guy.
But he's their only one.
He's a big play guy, and he's also been very good receiving, so it kind of.
They can't run the ball.
He's combined for about 800 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Where are we on the clock? Are we coming back and doing keys?
We
What's
are.
The deal?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break right now. The Married Hammer is sitting in studio waiting to guide us through
with the
another commercial
Gibby
break.
Producing here.
Just
you and I, a couple oldies but goodies.
Well, some would say.
The Wing Stop Kickoff Show at Tailgaters with all our friends.
Yeah.
The boys at the bar are ready to pour.
I mean, you got on them, and it looks
and they responded.
Spick and span.
Look at it now. Beautiful.
I could do a shot right off the bar.
I could do it right now. Just pour a little Fireball on the bar. I'll lick it up.
Wow.
Here we go.
Things have gotten crazy at Tailgaters. All right, it is the Wingstop Kickoff Show. Thanks for being with us. We'll get you up and going until we reach network pregame. All your favorites coming. Play-by-play voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, joins us for his perspective on today's contest.
Wonderful.
We'll go behind enemy lines with the esteemed Hayes Carline.
Excellent.
We've got the Inside the Injury Report, keys to the game, and more as we lock in. We're also going to – we got a giveaway today, Hammer, again?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
cool. We'll be
and the Guggen's favorite segment, the college football.
Yes,
that's coming
bridge.
Up at 8:50.
Yeah, the weekend bridge. Yes. Where you'll all whine and pester us, but we don't listen. It's not what we do. This is
Top
Kickoff Show live from Tailgaters.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show, live from Tailgaters Parking, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
The double announcer intro's got to go. It's killing me.
You're now blaming the process.
I am. Here's why.
We've been taught
every
all year.
Listen to me. Every radio show you ever do in your life, any appearance, you come back from break, the music plays, someone talks, and then you go. Not this one.
Yeah.
They play the music, someone talks, they play more music, and someone talks again.
It's been the format for years.
This is how
we've been taught.
I know.
Again,
hate
clap,
the player,
clap,
not the game.
You jump
yeah,
up,
yeah, I don't
you
get
move.
It. Yeah,
again.
I'm blaming the
all season long.
I'm blaming the refs.
I'm pulling your scolly.
All right, I don't care.
Keys?
I can afford it. Before we get to the keys,
okay.
I wanted to share one thing. As you know, I'm a tried and true, diehard, born and raised Atlanta fan.
Yes.
Right? Hawks, Braves, Falcons, my whole life.
Yes. How'd the Hawks do last night?
The Hawks lost to the Knicks last
night.
How'd you do in the playoffs last year?
How
are you doing in the playoffs this year?
What, do we live in the present or the past?
We'll live in the present right now.
Present or the past?
If you want to count the present season as to who might have the better team, just let me know. We can make any wager you want.
Who beat who?
We can make any
who
way
beat
you
whom?
You know what we're going to do on Christmas now? It's going to be a 30-point win for, you know.
Come on up to the Garden.
Just stop
some.
It. Stop it. Quit it. Anyway, so people will ask me and have assumed that I've remained a Falcons fan through all these years, you know, versus Jaguars. But we've talked about this before. Being in Jacksonville when the Jags were born, I think switched some allegiances. Right, you could have been a Dolphin fan your whole life, but once Jacksonville got a team and
your hometown team,
and you're a part of that, but I still, you know, had a rooting interest for the Falcons, but I really wasn't quite sure exactly where I was going to fall if it really mattered, and then it really mattered one Sunday at the very end of the season in 1996, and it was the first Jaguars game that I sat in the stands.
Okay,
because we had been covering the team for those years, and you know, press box or otherwise.
Yes,
so I'm in the stands. And famously, that's the game that came down to the very end. The Jaguars had a 2-point lead, and the Falcons drove down the field. And Morton Anderson, about the surest kicker in league history, had a little tiny little 30-yarder. And as I'm sitting there waiting for this play to unfold, Jacksonville, the stadium, it was full, buddy, and loud and percolating with excitement. If Morton Anderson misses this kick, the Jaguars go to the playoffs.
And he's not going to miss it because
he's a chipper. Right, you never do. But as we sat there in the stadium right then, I'm 29 years old. I've been following the Falcons my whole life. But as we sat there in the stadium, as he got ready to kick with the Jags prepared to go to the playoffs and the Falcons, you know, having another 3-13 year, I wanted him to miss the kick. And if you're a fan of a team, you never, ever, ever want him to miss anything and lose. And so at that point, I guess it dawned on me myself that – oh, when it comes to Jags Falcons, I would prefer the Jags. That doesn't mean I don't want the Falcons to win every week they don't play Jacksonville.
I was at a game. The Falcons lead the series 4-3, which is bad enough. I was at a game. I think it was Shad Khan's first game as owner.
I think
hadn't taken over, but was going to be
that
the
was
owner.
Like a Thursday nighter, wasn't it?
That was late in the season.
I think it was a Thursday night game.
And the word came out that Shad Khan was buying the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was there. It was a big deal. And, of course, the Jags got whooped, as they always have in the last 20 years. They haven't been a very good franchise, but neither are the Falcons. So it's 4-3 all-time Atlanta. But the most memorable game, obviously, was the 19-17. We broke a lot of broadcast rules that day. I do remember it for us down on the on the sidelines. I don't think we were supposed to be there. We broke right into programming right as it happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if the game, maybe not. I was at NBC then. I don't think the game was on
NBC. It would have been on the opposing network because Atlanta was the visitor.
I went live on the field as the game ended. Probably not supposed to do that. A lot of little mistakes there. But we were learning back then. We were young and excitable.
Yeah.
And they missed the kick, and it's great. And Brian Sexton and Matt Robinson were in the booth back then, and Matt was, oh, my goodness.
That missed kick lit the spark for the Jaguars being really one of the better teams in the league for 4 years in a row.
That's where
we 96, 97, 98, 99. I mean, the 99 season is detailed. And Dan, I know we've had some big wins, and there have been some recent ones, and not everyone was around in 1996. But for my money, the biggest, most exciting moment in the history of the stadium came when Morton Anderson missed that kick. And there have been other ones.
Oh, there have been some great
ones. The block kick returned by Chris Hudson on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
The win versus Seattle here in the 2017 season. The win over the Dolphins and the, 60. I saw recently the most devastating losses in each franchise's history, and the Jags have
Broncos and Dolphins.
Yeah, have two of them. Think about that. A team that hasn't been very good, hasn't been around that long,
yeah.
And two esteemed franchises like the Dolphins and Broncos, the beat writers covering those teams said the Jaguars gave them their most disappointing loss, and that's referencing, of course, Marino getting 62-7 down at the leak.
Yeah. That was then. This is now. Let's take a look at the keys to the game.
Now, the keys to the game. Brought to you by Instant Keys, fast, professional, honest locksmith service.
Well, he may be just a rookie, but Kyle Pitts is starting to really come on for the Falcons. He's got 40-plus catches, I do believe. And I would suggest the Jags are going to have success at stopping the run. I'm almost counting that as a given. I would say Kyle Pitts, because the Falcons – it's amazing, Jeff. The Falcons have lost all their receiving weapons, minus Pitts, who was their fourth overall selection. And some have criticized the Falcons for not going quarterback, and that may prove to be true down the road. We shall see. But the fact is they do have a very good – tight end who can create some mismatches in the NFL for you.
Well, there's been some rumors that maybe Calvin Ridley is eligible to return this week, and perhaps they will get him back, but I've not seen any confirmation that Ridley will play. In fact, I would imagine that even if he is ready to come back from his step away from football, that he would need at least a week to get going. They've turned, to your point, bit players like Russell Gage, Zacchaeus. I mean, they've just guys running around.
Right.
They need Patterson really on both fronts.
Yeah.
He becomes their best receiver and their best running back, and it's amazing that you're having a bad year when a player like that becomes that.
Yeah, and you have a good quarterback.
Right, like if Jamal Agnew's your best offensive player, you're having a bad year.
Yeah.
With all due respect to him.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Patterson, I think, in Atlanta.
You have a good quarterback, Matt Ryan, but he's definitely at the tail end of his career. But the fact is they don't have near enough weapons around.
Their O-line's bad.
If they had a rookie quarterback, it would be the same situation.
I really, you want to talk about a key to the game. Let's now, as far as the pregame feel goes, it's the best opportunity to get Trevor Lawrence in a rhythm. The Falcons cannot get to the quarterback, Dan. They have 10 sacks.
Wow.
They got one a game. I mean, they don't pressure. Their pressure rate is among the lowest in the league. And look, I know the Jags are down.
Do they still have Dante Personal Fowler?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to see
Dante homecoming today?
I'm sure he's excited about
it. He'll be fired up.
Yeah, I bet all year long he's really thought about it. Can't wait to go to that game to go back to Jacksonville. Oh, the memories.
They fined me over $1 million.
But I think it's I think it's a key for Jacksonville to it's kind of a generic, but listen, they are not going to rush the quarterback. So I will say this to you, to your argument about Bevel and the personnel you have.
Yeah.
If you can't get me some guys 4 or 5 yards open today with what should be your best pass protection of the year, I give up.
Well, I've tried to scheme it up for you. I don't know what more I can do. So you're telling me that the Falcons defense is terrible. And the Falcons' offense is terrible.
Well, the last 2 weeks they've lost by a combined – now, granted, to some decent teams, but they've lost 68-3.
Yeah.
To the Cowboys and the Patriots. So, pretty good teams. But if you lose a combined –
So the next question is, how did the Falcons win four?
The answer to that is before injuries, when they had Mike Davis at running back and Patterson was a switch up, when Calvin Ridley was playing.
Yeah.
They play better, but look, it's a good question. They D'd up New Orleans pretty well on the road and win a game. I think that's the last game they won.
Wow.
But they I will say this.
Gibby, can you give me the four W's for the Falcons, please?
Well, I can give them to you, but the scare factor for Atlanta.
I asked Gibby.
Okay. The scare factor when you face Atlanta is this. Put me back on stand for my expert analysis, expert witness on the failures of Atlanta. I will say this is the kind of game they're dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we're bad too.
Yeah, correct.
That's why, I mean, we sit here in detail all you want, but I promise you, the same thing in Atlanta. Like, Falcons have a chance to get right back on track with a win over the Jags. And
they'd be 5-6.
And
six, yeah.
I could sit there and say they're.
Yeah.
Who do you got, Gibby? Who we got?
All right, so the Falcons beat the Giants 17-14.
Okay.
On the road. I think that was their first win.
Nice win.
They beat the Jets 27-20.
Ooh. And barely held on. Now,
New York here,
I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
In there, we don't have to stop on it. There's a game against Washington that they absolutely 100% blew.
Yeah.
They had the game. They should be
30.
Yeah, they should be 5-5. But anyway, continue.
They beat the Dolphins, who the Jags beat.
Okay.
30-28, and then they beat the Saints 27.
Saints the only good.
And that was not that good.
And that was a road game though. That was by far their best win. I mean, you really beat. But to my point, guess where the Jags fall.
Yeah.
In the Dolphins, Jets, Giants category, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not in the Patriots, Cowboys,
no.
You know, and the other teams that have been beating them.
Oh.
So the Jags offense today has a tremendous opportunity to finally get in some rhythm, to show some balance. Don't you think James Robinson, and we'll get more into the injuries later this morning, but, you know, James Robinson is one more week into he's like a day ahead of what he was the previous week.
Let's hope so.
He looked hobbled to me last week.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about that a lot, but he had one particular run where he was going around the end, and he almost seemed to have to slow up and you know, show that heel was bothering him. So, you know, hopefully he can get going. And look, on the other side, I think this is a game, you know, that the Jags defense can bounce back. They've been playing so well.
Yeah.
And really – you know,
Matt Ryan can't move.
No,
so he's a statue.
Get after him, and I like when Joe Cullen flipped the switch. Hey, look, we're not the most talented team in the league. We're going to come at you from 1,000 different angles, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blitz you. We're going to harass you. We're going to try and confuse you. And it's served the Jaguars defense well here the last month and a half. We'll see. I just get the sense that it's time for a bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jaguars team is. You know, bounced around. They'll look bad, and then they'll bounce back with a good performance. Look what they did going from Seattle to home against Buffalo. So
yeah, but there was the last couple haven't been so good. So I need you know that was then. This is now, and now hasn't been as good.
Indy they played pretty good.
Yeah, it needs to get well. They got down 17-0 like they did last week.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Those are the keys to the game. We are at Wingstop. It's the kickoff show.
We're tailgaters.
Tailgaters.
The
Wingstop kickoff show at Tailgaters.
Yeah.
And we've got Frank Ferraggi, the voice of the Jags,
we
on
do.
Deck.
Yeah, we'll do that. And we still have much more, about an hour and a half to count you down to network pregame coverage. You are listening to the Wingstop Kickoff Show live from Tailgaters.
I just said
live from Tailgaters Parking.
This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
My Sharona, ooh, you make my motor run.
This song takes you back.
Raise your hand if you've seen the Knack in concert.
This song, not me, mine's down. This song takes you back to the day where it was a good year to go 6-6 in Gainesville and make a bowl. But we're talking Jaguar football, and Atlanta Falcons come to town.
Yes.
I'll you know, reserve my status as expert witness on Atlanta failure as we bring in the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Frank Frangi.
Morning, Frank.
Is as desperate as we are to see our franchise experience some success. And, you know, Frank, as opponents go, Not a bad option to get things going right this week.
Well, first of all, circa 1980 from the Knack and my Sharona.
Yeah.
And there's more stories than I would tell about that song. But anyway, there's that. So good morning, boys.
Morning.
Well, great way to start. Look, here's what happens when two struggling teams play. The Falcons have lost 3 out of 4, Jeff, and been hammered 68-3 in the last two games. The Jags have lost 3 out of 4 and can't get much going offensively. So what happens is the fan bases of both teams say, okay, here's where we right the ship. You know, so here in Jacksonville, we're saying this is the team Jacksonville has a good chance to beat. I promise you on Atlanta talk shows, they're saying the pain stops because this is a team the Falcons have a good chance to beat. So having said all that, we follow this team, right? The Falcons are a struggling team. Jeff, they're next to last in the league in scoring defense. They're next to last in the league in total offense. It's going to be a bigger rebuild than Arthur Smith thought it would be. They're not great at the line of scrimmage. The Jags, actually, for as bad as they've been in so many areas, have a pretty good line of scrimmage of late. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch. Maybe we have a chance in this one. I kind of feel good about it.
I'm tired of feeling good, Frank. It's Armageddon Sunday. This is it. I mean, if these guys lay an egg today, I'm not going to – I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm not going to let you get away with I feel good about next Sunday.
Okay.
Nope, I'm not doing it, Frank. This is it. This is it for you. This is it for Prosser, Gibby, Hammer back in the studio. We're draft talking Monday if they don't win this freaking game, Frank. Enough's enough. Somebody's got to draw the line in the sand, Frank, and I'm drawing it.
I take full responsibility, Hick. I'm with you. I like your passion. I love your anger. By the way, my favorite Dan Hicken, Angry Dan Hicken. I've always said that. Okay, and I love all the Hickens. Okay,
yes,
but I love
you.
Angry Dan. So I'm with you. No, they ought to play well in this game. I hear you. That's a fair point. They shouldn't lay an egg in this one. They should play well in this game. And I don't know if they're going to win the game or not, but they match up okay here. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
It's hard to find the splash play, the big play, when really the only guy who's provided it for you is going to be lost for the year with a hip injury. Where do you think the Jags look to get? I do think, Frank, today we're going to have a chance for Trevor to actually get in that pocket, scan the field, and have time to go downfield if they choose. The question is who gets open.
Well, that's the problem, Jeff. Honestly, in this game, I think I would load up. I would have a bunch of tight ends. I would put Walker Little in there as my extra lineman, tackle-eligible guy, and I would run the football. I don't think the Falcons are very good at the line of scrimmage, and as much as you'd like to sit back there in the pocket and throw downfield, because I agree with you, they'll have time, I just think that this current Jaguars team, this incarnation of Jaguars, there's no one that's going to do that very often. They've tried, Jeff. They brought in John Brown, who's 31 years old, and threw him a deep ball to start the game last week. And they brought in Tavon Austin, who's a journeyman, and they tried to turn Jamal Agnew into receiver before he got hurt. They failed in the offseason to find that. And then the one guy they had that was sort of that, DJ Chark, got hurt. Jeff, I don't think there's anything down the field. Maybe Dan Arnold on some vertical routes. But I think I would turn this one. I'd play this one in a phone booth. I don't think the Falcons are a physical team. You know, I've done it like you guys all. We do a lot of radio in other markets, and I got a lot of buddies, West Durham and Buck Blue, buddies in that market, and they can't believe in their mind how bad they believe the Falcons are at the line of scrimmage. So I would probably make it a line of scrimmage game. I think that's how I would play this thing because I just, as much as I want to see the ball down the field, you still got to have somebody down there catching it, and I don't know if the Jags have that. I really don't.
Well, that should make for a quick football game today, Frank.
Yeah, if they play it that way, we'll see. I may be dead wrong. Who knows what they're going to do? That's how
yeah,
I play.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. Listen, and if Robinson is healthier, I don't know that he's fully healed. We do a TV show with him, so I see him once a week, and I can tell he's not 100%, but hopefully he's getting better. I feel like he's getting a little bit better each week, so – and each week it seems like he's a day ahead of the previous week. So, boy, they could use a big day from that young man.
Yeah, last week I thought, just from my eyes, Dan, he looked the most injured he's looked to me.
Yeah,
almost looked like to me watching last week. He never misses a hole, man. He's not going to turn a 10-yard run into a 90-yard run because he's not fast like that. But that dude never misses the hole. He always gets the hole, and he always takes a little hole and turns it into 4 or 5 yards.
Right.
Last week, I thought he struggled with. Now, look, San Francisco's a really physical team. But I thought he looked, the most dinged he's looked all year. You talk to him every week. You know better than I do. But he looked the most dinged he's looked to me all year long. But again, I would run him. And here's the other thing about running the ball a little bit today. At some point, we have to quit having games where the game ended, Trevor threw a pick, or Trevor didn't throw a touchdown. They were saying, what's wrong with Trevor? I think Trevor needs to – what's wrong with Trevor is – there's nobody winning downfield. That's what's wrong with Trevor. Okay, I don't care if you're Tom Brady. If nobody's ever open, it's going to be hard. And so I wouldn't mind taking the pressure off him. That's all good.
Trevor has not been quite as quick twitch athletic as I thought he was. Like making that decision and getting on the RPO. Because you saw him make some nice, especially long striding runs at Clemson.
Right.
You know, he could go a long distance. But I don't, you know, he seems to, because I bring this up because the narrative this week is should we get more RPO? You know, I want to see him in the RPO. And, you know, after watching him for 8-9 weeks, I'm not sure that that's going to best suit him. What do you think?
No, I think it's a great read. I think you're 100% on. I don't agree with the last thing you said that won't best suit him. But I think the first thing you said, Jeff, is 100%. He looks tentative, doesn't he? He looks tepid. Well, you know he's a tough guy. He's not afraid of getting hit. I just don't think he's sure when to run, when not to. The season starts, and everybody says, you got to protect yourself. You got to slide. You can't run. Throw the ball out of bounds. We can't get you hurt. Then remember that 2 or 3 weeks in, they said, you know what, we got to run Trevor. We're going to take advantage of athleticism. I don't think he's sure what to do, Jeff. So, but I think you're reading. You can see. He looks tepid. His play looks a little tentative, and you know he's not that guy. So I think he is twitching. I think he's a good runner and will be a good runner when that. But I'm not sure he knows how they want him to play it yet. He's still new to the league. But I've noticed it. I've noticed the same thing you've said too. Not that he's not twitchy, but that he's not taking off. He's not sure when to take off. I think you can clearly see that.
And you wonder too, Frank. When is it gonna? You know, again, they're not very good. I mean, they're just not very good offensively, and so it's hard. But he's got to keep fighting through because in the long run, it will pay benefits. And if he can't handle this, because quite honestly, while he's able to get rid of the ball, he's probably prevented some sacks. But he has not. It's not like the Texans and Carr in his rookie season when he got sacked 70 times, and he'll never be the same. So this is a great mental challenge for the young kid, and if he can fight through this, he can fight through anything. And then, you know, you get to the offseason, you make some changes, but you still want to see him play better.
Yeah, I agree with that, and you're right. The offense, the line's been okay. I don't think they got five guys going to the Hall of Fame, but I think the line has been okay. I think the line's been. The problem is, so he's not getting beat up a lot. Your point's a good one. This isn't David Carr in Houston,
right?
But what he is going through is guys aren't open. And I keep coming back to that. So what do? I said this last week. Do you throw some screens and some hitches just so he can start the game 7 out of 8 and gain a little confidence? He's going to be fine. He's a tough-nosed guy. Look, we've said this 1,000 times. When these young guys come into the league, the way the league is built now, the team gets good pretty fast. Kyler Murray, all of a sudden the Cardinals are good. Joe Burrow, all of a sudden the Bengals are pretty good. Baker Mayfield is not as good as those guys. All of a sudden the Browns are pretty good. Once you get one of those guys, for the most part, for your team gets good, but you got to put some guys around them, and that's the big thing. But I agree with you. He'll play. He's got 7 more games.
Mm-hmm. As you answer that question, I find my frustration building, and not with your answer, but with, you know how you get them open? Doggone it, Frank, you coach them open.
Right.
I mean, these are NFL receivers. I'm not saying we got the cream of the crop, but over the course of 40 pass plays, half of them, your guy ought to be 5 yards open. I mean, I don't understand how it's just like falling off the scheme of responsibility that we have an offensive coordinator that can't call an open play.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I don't know, Jeff, to your point.
5 yards?
I don't know that guys can get open down the field no matter how good your coordinator is. But your point is run 3 verticals and a guy underneath.
Something.
Right? Something simple to where there's some easy throws. I agree with that. They've got to find him some easy throws. Somehow, some way. They've got to start finding him some easy throws, and they have not been able to do that. Yeah, the offense has this trouble, and the offense is real. That's the defense has been pretty good. I'll bet you the defense is very good today. I'd be surprised if it's not.
Frank, I need some sage wisdom from a veteran broadcaster like yourself.
Okay,
I have made an error in judgment.
On.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're a little bit older than me, as you know.
I am.
I don't get to say that to many people.
He loves
in the industry.
He just said that the other day to someone. I can't remember who it was.
It's because I took this picture on Thanksgiving of my family, and there's this guy with white hair in the
Grandpa.
Middle of the picture.
What's up, Gramps?
Who in the hell is that?
Gramps?
Oh, that's me. Okay, great. Anyway, Frank,
start calling you Holmes.
Yeah. I've made an error in judgment with my Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh no.
What's
the problem?
I finished it at 8:48. Yep. I've got to go till 10.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of go-go juice, Frank. I'm over here at Tailgaters.
What is he, Tony Montana? What are we doing?
I'm wondering if Frank on his way in might be able to stop off and bring me a DC.
Frank, and under no circumstance are you going to run an errand for Dan.
Yeah.
We'll let you go.
Is there any advice you can give
me? We're at Tailgaters,
Let's,
Frank.
I asked there's, Frank. I didn't ask you. I asked Frank.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. First of all, Jeff, I disagree with you. I think we all live to serve Hicks, so I think there's a way to do that.
Thank you.
This would be my recommendation, because I care. You know, not everybody cares, Dan.
I know you do.
So what I would do is, no, I'm probably not bringing anything, but here's what I would tell you.
Okay.
We have peeps. This is like the most well-listened to pregame show in the NFL. I've got the ratings.
That's fair. Wow. That's
sure.
fair.
Mm. So what can we get one peep? You're very easy to get to. You pull right up to that fence there. You can walk to the fence.
Yeah.
I would say I would be roundly disappointed if we couldn't get a peep between now and 10 o'clock wow. to bring you
good
a soft
point.
Drink. I mean,
so
I'm going to do this.
He
right
solves
now
problems. He doesn't create them, Jeff. He solves them.
While I'm on your air, I'm going to say right now, peeps, I would be disappointed in our peeps. If somebody didn't drive by tailgaters, honk the horn. You got to have a honk. If you don't honk the horn, it doesn't work. Honk the horn, and when Hicken comes over to the fence, bring him a soft drink. How's that?
I'm not sure at this time of day if you're completely aware of what a Jaguar home crowd looks like at 8:50 on a Sunday morning.
It's a little early.
We'll leave it at that. And again, I know he's asking for your perspective, but I mean, I hate to be the one to quibble, but literally 20 steps away to the right, there's an open bar. Pretty sure they got Mountain Dew, but I'm not positive.
So you're saying there's a hole in my plan is what you're saying. That's
a little bit of a hole.
There's holes. There's holes there. Yeah. All right, Frank.
Have a great call, Frankie.
We appreciate it, my man. That's Frank Frazier.
Take care. Thank y'all.
Play-by-play voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Who's been the Jaguars' defensive MVP?
Defensive MVP?
You know who I think it is? I think it's a guy who doesn't have any stats that would scream he's having a great year.
Who?
I think it's Shaq. That guy's played good, man. Yeah, he's gone on the other guy's
team.
I know he's not, and that leads us into the injury report a little bit later. But
I'd say Josh Allen still.
Well, Josh Allen, he's got 5.5 sacks. He seems to have gotten them all in a couple of games, but he's been putting consistent pressure. A guy I root for, a guy I like, and he's made it, and hopefully he can just be like a 10-year Jag, but Smoot. Smoot plays with some energy and gets in there. I bring this up because there ought to be opportunities to get to Matt Ryan today. He's certainly not the most
mobile,
you know, fleet of foot, for sure. And the Falcons come in playing absolutely horrible football, losers of their last two by big numbers. So, all right, we will bridge you. We are set up for chaos in the college football. Well, chaos for everyone but Georgia, who – can we just send them the trophy?
Might as well.
Just send them the trophy.
Yeah.
Yes. It's your favorite portion of the program.
We love it.
When the Wingstop Kickoff
the text
Show
line.
Continues next. Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all better,
faster, stronger. Live from Tailgaters Parking,
this is the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
You know what the other thing Hammer does that I think throws us a little bit as the quarterback?
There's a long interlude.
He has a bad cadence.
Yeah, very bad.
Hammer, you're the quarterback, and you don't get up to the line and go, set hut.
No.
You go up to the line, and you want us to jump for some reason.
You even bob your head. I think you even bob. You look at the receiver and bob your head and try and throw us offside.
I think you look at us as defensive ends, and I think you try to get us to jump, and then you chuckle back there.
I'm not
lying. Can you confirm or deny this report, Hammer?
I mean, I try to use, like, the clap like Emory does and Florida does, you know. So maybe I'll switch it up. But, no, I like to play the music. I want the music to run for a little bit. And then I just play the rejoin, and then that's it.
Well, much like Emory's direction, you get your line to false start about every other play, it feels like. Boy, we almost had total chaos last night. It seems unfair for a team that's really good to also be as lucky as Alabama's proven to be this year.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Alabama is lucky to win the game yesterday. They were terrible.
Let me ask you a question.
I mean, how does a guy not go down in bounds, dude?
If Alabama had lost that game
and
then come back and beat Georgia, would you and they would have been screaming from the mountaintops to put them in the playoff.
And they might should be in
would
the playoff
you,
if that
would
had happened.
Would you put them in the playoff?
It depends on who you're going against, but against a one-loss team from a lesser schedule. And say what you want about Bama. They've played the number one schedule in the country.
So if Georgia...
Georgia's going to beat the hell out of Alabama. Yes, they are.
6-point favorites. So if Georgia...
Lay it.
If Georgia loses to Bama, then you're automatically putting Bama in the top four.
I don't know if I'm automatically, but probably, yeah. I think you just beat the number one team in the country. I'll ask you this, fairness. And now, granted, you would say before that I just did, before Bama played him, no one's going to beat him. You don't think any of those teams are beating Georgia? And now I've got one that just proved that it can. So,
I said somebody is going to give Georgia a game somewhere.
They haven't gotten one yet, have they?
No.
I guess Auburn probably came the closest to giving them a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, kept it, what, 28-13 or something like that? Maybe they got one late.
I feel.
But it's open up for Georgia. It looks like right now the final is going to be Georgia, and the other three teams are going to be Cincinnati, Michigan, and Oklahoma State.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you put Notre Dame over Oklahoma State? That's an interesting one.
Well, the problem is Oklahoma State has another game and Notre Dame doesn't.
Well, Notre Dame didn't beat anyone.
Yeah.
The only game they played that was any good, they got hammered at home by Cincinnati. They should not be into me, but it's been one of those years where, like, I would put two-loss Alabama in if they – now, look. No, that's losing to Georgia. It depends on how they lose, I guess.
I feel for –
if they beat Georgia, they only got one loss. They're the one seed, aren't they, if Alabama wins?
I feel for Auburn fan this morning. I feel for them because I've been in that position. You go to the game and you're going just because you love your team, but you know you're telling Bama fan, you know, you're not even trash talking because you just go easy on us. Ah, we'll see what happens. Ah, you know, you don't have a chance. You don't even your backup quarterback's playing. The only thing you got is you're at home. And then the boys come out and they just play their
especially the defense plays
their butts off.
Yeah,
and they are. I mean, those defensive backs for Auburn yesterday. I don't know whoever the best one is should be the Thorpe Award winner. I don't know.
They did play great
at 23,
and they pressured the quarterback the whole day.
Oh, they sack and they got so now you're like,
we have a chance
0-0. You know, second quarter. Wait a minute, we got the lead here 7-0.
No, it's 10-0.
Well, it's 10-0.
Now we're fourth quarter 10-0.
Now if I'm there with you and you and me are Auburn fan, I'm looking at you going, please don't do it. They're not going to do this. Don't do this to me, please. Please, we've worked so hard because you're screaming your head off for minute after minute after minute. Now you're into the fourth quarter and you got a chance. And then you finally stop them on fourth down and you get the ball. And this is where I asked a friend of mine who I felt like Auburn needed Mike Bobo, their OC, to give me one freaking creative play to get a first down in either of the last two drives, and I think they win the game. And he would not, and I know they had nothing. I know, but one creative play. I know you're thinking, well,
they did on the two-pointer, I guess.
That's after. I need to stop. I can't go to overtime with Alabama, bro. I cannot go to overtime. But anyway, my heart breaks for Auburn fan because they sit there, and for 59 minutes and 50 seconds, they're leading the game. They're going to do it. And then out of the blue, he throws this rainbow. Oh, no!
I guess the only departure from what you said about Bobo would be this. All Tank Bixby's got to do is go down.
Yeah.
The game is over.
Yeah.
They run the clock out if he just goes down. And so to go out of bounds there and give Alabama a minute and a half instead of 40 seconds. I mean, they went 97 yards to tie the game, Dan. 97 yards. And they did it because they would not have had time.
Fourth down conversions.
They would, but at the end of the day, they would have run out of time had the guy just fallen to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, if I'm Auburn fan, I'm dying. And if I'm Alabama fan, kiss the ground you walk on. Because a team that's that good, that dominates year after year, shouldn't be so gosh dog lucky. They just shouldn't. That's not fair. I mean, and Bama has
great teams create that,
and they've slid off the hook now, you know, a couple, three times, but none more than yesterday, where Auburn deserved to win the game.
Yeah,
they beat them the whole day. They had the game won, and to lose it like you did, and to lose it, I mean, Dan, the running back let the guy grab him at the hash and pull him 5 yards.
Yeah.
That's just unaware, right? You got to be smarter. So it's chaos at the top. Ohio State got absolutely
out.
And here's,
which, by the way, helps Georgia.
Well, of course it does. Yeah. Here's the state of college football. It looked, for all intents and purposes, at least of late, that the team that was best equipped to give Georgia a game was who?
Ohio State.
Right, and they got killed.
Well, good for Harbaugh.
Yeah, he is an eccentric odd dude, man.
He is, but I was happy for him in Michigan. You lose 8 in a row, man. That's brutal.
That's fair.
Brutal.
And they dominated them.
They did.
And you know what?
Every time Ohio State scored, that's okay. We're going to run it right down your throat.
This is a guy, Jim Harbaugh, who 1 year ago we were amazed he wasn't getting fired.
Yeah.
We couldn't. In fact, they gave him an extension.
Yeah.
And he stuck to his guy. He didn't come out and suddenly play run and shoot, did he?
No.
He came out and he played old Jim Harbaugh football, pro style. Got him a running back who, ironically, has the same last name as a former Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah.
And he just ran it right down their throat.
It's his son, I believe.
Yeah,
he keeps. But I tell you one thing, he does. He keeps recruiting, and he's got good football players. And those two defensive ends are terrific.
Yeah.
The Hutchinson kid
and Ojobo.
He should get some Heisman votes. I mean, he's got 13 sacks.
Well, he said that Haskins on offense and Hutchinson on defense have been carrying him all year. I haven't watched a ton of Michigan a little bit. I mean, Dan, they had Michigan State beat, didn't they? Weren't they up like 14, 20 points in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, they're this close to being undefeated. So when I think about a team that can beat Georgia, to be honest with you, I think Michigan is the best hope.
And yet, I think Michigan could also slip up against Iowa.
But I don't. maybe they will.
Yeah.
But I think Michigan against Georgia at least gives you like that Penn State against Miami so many years ago.
Yeah.
Right? One team is dominant. They've been great all year. But the other's old tried and true Midwestern meat and potatoes, you know, run the – I was very – Michigan beat the heck out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I mean, they beat them.
Here's a question we always like to play, would you rather. I love this would you rather. Would you rather – and I know the answer for Georgia fan. I know the answer.
Okay.
But winning the SEC means something to everybody. Gibby, you're a Georgia fan. I'll pose this to you, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you. But I would, if it was a team like Bama, it might be different. But would you rather win the SEC? I'm giving you the SEC championship, and then roll the dice in the postseason, not knowing what's going to happen, or lose to Bama and guarantee a natty title.
Well, first of all, I'm not really a Georgia fan. I just grew up with around okay. Georgia people, but
yeah, you're more.
I mean,
of
they
a
want the
happy
natty.
State
they, yeah,
they want the natty.
That's where I went. They want the natty. They haven't won it since '80. I mean, they want the natty.
You ask me these questions like this before, and I always tell you, I'll take the SEC because I know I'm going to win the other. At least I can do both that way.
Yeah.
Like you're giving me the other option means I can't do both. I'll trust my talent and run out there and. You know, take a chance at being able to get both. Mm-hmm. Is how I would do it. But Georgia, it couldn't go any better because again, you're going to be in a Final Four with Cincinnati and you know Notre Dame or Oklahoma State. Who is going to be the fourth? Who is it going to be? That's going to be.
I think if Oklahoma State wins, they jump Notre Dame. But I don't and by know the, that.
Yeah, and does anyone think? I think Cincinnati. You know what? I think Cincinnati might beat Oklahoma State. These teams, what are we doing, man? This does not look like a Final Four. And it's a great year
to
beat
Georgia.
It's
the beauty of it.
I mean, LSU, their great year. At least they still had to go through the quote-unquote powers. Right? I mean, they went through Clemson and Ohio State, and Georgia's just going to waltz in with opponents that look like they're meeting them in the Liberty Bowl.
I will tell you right now, by the way, I will take –
Hey, good for them. They've deserved it.
I will take Alabama in the six all day against you. If you
No, I'll take Georgia. Georgia's going to beat that butt, man.
You're over. No. No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll
for Nick Saban to grasp the underdog role, he is going to relish this all week long.
I don't care how
I'm
much.
I'm just telling you.
They're going to. Bryce Young may not make it through the first quarter the way Auburn got after him. So we'll see. Although I will say this.
Yeah.
There is a part of me for just because of what seems from our standpoint to be such a dumb decision. There's a part of me that Kirby Smart wants to fail because of who he took at quarterback. You know, there's a part of me that wants to see, and I don't wish, you know, necessarily bad on Stetson Bennett, I can't believe that Stetson Bennett's a better quarterback option than JT Daniels.
One of my favorite memes going around yesterday, and I didn't know this, but apparently if you look at the Gators roster, a lot of people don't know this, they had actually signed Lucy from Peanuts, and she held the football.
Yeah, I got that from about five people yesterday. It got to the point I didn't even honor anyone with a request because it went so mainstream that everybody and their brother was sending that one out.
And I'll credit my 16-year-old. I'm like, just get the onside kick. And he goes, that ball moved, Dad. He touched it. That's Gator's ball. Yeah. I'm like, oh, good.
I guess credit for trying, but what about the FSU kicker on a dead still day trying to convince the rest? It was the wind. I could read his lips. It was the wind. No, buddy, it wasn't the wind.
No, you touched it.
Yeah. Now, look, I mean, if there are two perspectives to this.
Yeah.
I mean, all that's left yesterday was a measuring stick between Florida and Florida State, and it has to be pretty disappointing for FSU fan to fight back to that point, play a Florida Gator team that is absolutely reeling.
Yeah.
I mean reeling.
Yeah.
Getting squashed by teams like South Carolina, losing a week later at Missouri, just blown out by good teams. I fired their coach in the middle of the week, and a team that whose quarterback threw three first-half interceptions.
Yeah.
Whose program is being run by a rent-a-coach for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, if not yesterday, when, if you're an FSU fan?
Well, that's a fair question for FSU because the other thing is they raided the transfer portal. A lot of those kids are gone. They're one and doneers.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yesterday it seemed like bad Florida is better than FSU.
Yeah. So, you know, and Florida maybe finally will see the light and whoever comes in and coaches, and if it's Billy Napier here today or tomorrow, and if it's not today or tomorrow, I don't know when it will be. That would not be good if Florida's not naming Napier because LSU is still open. USC is still open. Those guys have been without coaches for a long time. So, obviously, they're waiting on guys. So, and Lincoln Riley said last night, I'm not coming. But as for the game yesterday, listen, I don't care what the records are. It sets your mood for the day. If you're a Florida fan and you win that game, you're happy.
100%.
6-6.
I'd rather go to a bowl than not, whether it's Gasparilla or Cotton. The game's a game. I've always said this about teams making playoffs, even if they don't have a great chance of doing anything.
Yeah.
You're a fan for one reason, to watch your team.
Yeah.
So anytime your team gives you extra opportunity to watch them play,
right.
In this case, the Gasparilla Bowl right. or whatever it may be, then right. – yeah, I'll embrace it, and I'll yeah. you know, take advantage. Hopefully yesterday was the beginning of the Anthony Richardson era. Emory Jones showed one last time yesterday. Should never play another snap at Florida. It's way too
throws.
Big for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done it all year long. Never got any better. And just to, you know, save someone's feelings, I'm not, you know, no, you're not playing anymore.
Yeah.
Go transfer to Jackson State, play for Deion. Go to anywhere. God bless you. Yeah. Thanks.
Yep.
But it better be firmly stated that, Anthony, you get a couple years here to see how good you can be, how far you can take him.
He would have thrown his fourth pick if the guy turned around, the one that went off his helmet at the start of the second half. All right, let's do this.
I don't like – I do, even though I'm mad and you and I talk at halftime and I can't – you know, I can't stand to see another Emory Jones play. I hate it when the home crowd
– yeah, I don't like
boos the kid going off.
No,
and
like
hey,
this.
Gator fan, have a – touch a class.
Yeah.
You know, you're
well,
a 5-6
you know
football
what,
team.
Bras, I put that on the coaches.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even have started the second half.
Well, I guess so. But even if he did,
yeah.
just even if you want to cheer obnoxiously for the guy replacing, that's hurtful enough.
Right.
But to boo and then immediately turn it into a cheer,
yeah.
come on, man.
Yeah.
Weak.
But still a great crowd, a great atmosphere, and a great win for the Gators nonetheless, despite the fact that it was not the best football in the world.
And who do you, and,
average
you, and you say you think they'll be going to the Gasparilla Bowl?
That's what I heard.
That's a tab. Is that in the St. Pete Dome?
It's December 23rd.
Is that against like a MAC team? We're going to play like Butters. Butters going to come down and play us?
Tulsa or
so it's
Tulane.
A Conference USA or an AAC matchup?
I don't know who it is.
That's exciting.
Nobody really knows. It might
another,
be, and by the way, Gibby, check the time. It might be a 10 a kick. It might be.
Yeah, the Gator Bowl is like 11.
Yeah, it might be a 10.
Yeah, well, only this one ain't on New Year's Day, Gibby. We're going to play this one at like a Wednesday of school
Thursday,
week.
Thursday, December 23rd. It might be a 10 a. I'm not positive.
And that's not official yet.
No,
that
no.
won't all happen until next
no, that
week.
That was speculative.
I mean, this is a case, though, where, and Dan, you said this earlier, the SEC has 13 of its 14 bowl eligible.
That's correct.
That's a bad year for Florida.
Yeah.
Because Florida's going to get, I mean, Florida's 12-14, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're down low. So
low
they're
picks.
Yeah, they're not like they're going to get shoved. 6-6 Gator teams have been shoved to the Gator Bowl before.
Although the Gasparilla would be doing cartwheels to get the
oh,
Gators.
My gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's huge for them.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll check out the injury report for the Jags, the Falcons, some key injuries. And
some other news around the NFL.
A center of attention returning to the lineup.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah. Hayes Carline standing by will join us at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
As we go behind enemy lines. And before we're done, we'll give you our perspective on, you know, the handicapping issues or situation when it comes to today's Jags game as well. That's brought to you by BetUS and BetUS.com. So this is the Tailgaters kickoff, the Wingstop kickoff show live from Tailgaters.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors. Live from Tailgaters Parking on 1010XL.
Oh, my God, he did it again, ladies and gentlemen. I wish. I got to start rolling on it. I got to start rolling on it and make it happen because it's so fantastic as we welcome you back here to Tailgaters at the Wingstop Kickoff Show. And Jeff's carrying on a conversation with a fan here right now, and hopefully we'll get him back.
Yeah. Talking shop.
Yeah, I got you. Mm. That was terrific.
Yeah, I did it again.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I don't care.
I know. That's
no one hears it, but obviously you point it out each time.
Is that what I do?
Yeah.
Piling
like
on.
Like a referee, you know.
You know what I do?
Hmm.
You're down on the ground, and I come flying in and take a lead.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Hey, let's check out the injury report.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
I knew we were throwing to it there. I was going to say something to throw to it. So that one's not me. That's a miscom. Look, they get Brandon Linder back. Has the offensive line suffered for not having him? Well, he's your best offensive lineman. So, yeah, I would say it has. I would say it's been not a good thing that Brandon Linder hasn't been in there. And hopefully... you know, with one more of the main starters back, you've also gotten some seasoning on some other players. It gives you some more options now at that right guard position. You can move Shatley over there. Bartsch has played a lot instead. You know, will we? I think the big questions really on the offensive line heading into the offseason is what to do with the tackles, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to decide. And when you start talking about the offseason, you got to decide, you know, what kind of rebuild needs to be done there because, again, you still have so much to work on. But the offense will take a major overhaul in the offseason.
I don't see, like, Juwan Taylor being gone. It's a question of, will he still be a starter?
Yeah. Well, right. You still have him under.
Yeah, you're not in a position to just go willy-nilly letting – you know, the Jaguars' offensive line isn't terrible. Is it not the best in the league? No, but it's – you know, it's not awful, and getting Brandon Linder back today will help. James Robinson should be, you know, better and closer to full health, I believe. Does Oshaq Hennessy return today, too, or no?
I believe he's
I think they're hopeful. Yeah, he's kind of a poor man's Dan Arnold. I think they're better with both those guys. The other tight ends have been very disappointing, right?
Yeah.
The first rounder and you know, Manhurts is just what they said he was. He's a blocker. He doesn't catch the ball.
Yeah, Linder and O'Shaughnessy have been designated to return. John Brown elevated. Team did a wave. Devon Azigbo again. So, anyway, that's the very latest on what's happening. And
Shaq Griffin
is the big
now,
loss.
To be honest with you, if you could pick a game of the next 4 weeks that
this would be the one
because they don't have – you know, Shaq's been great because he'll follow the number one guy around.
Yeah.
They don't have a number one receiver.
No.
They just don't. With no Ridley, you know, and Pitts is – you know, I heard you talking about him earlier. He's disappointed to a degree, and I'll tell you why. He's had the one big game against Miami.
He's a rookie tight end. He's got 40-some catches. He's only got one touchdown.
Yeah, that's why.
He's got 40-some catches, 600-some yards. They've played what's their record?
4-6.
4-6, 10 games. That means they have 7 games to go. He's going to have 75, 80 catches as a rookie tight end.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Well, not if it's for 800 yards and 2 scores. It's just okay, you know.
Gee whiz.
Well, I don't know about the – y'all get – I'm not a big number of catches guy.
Yeah.
I'm a production guy. Do you want a guy with 80 catches for 600 yards or 50 catches for 1,200 yards? And he's not – all I'm saying is, I'm not saying disappointing is going to be terrible. You went and got the guy that they said was the best, you know, hybrid athlete coming out in forever, and he's not doing in the NFL what he did in college. He's not a mismatch. He's not open all the time. He's not making big play after big play.
You don't seem to give any learning curve whatsoever. The expectation you have for him is to be a Hall of Famer right out the rip. I think there's some transitional time, and the fact that he's been able to catch 43 balls so far, I should look it up exactly because I want to have it
well,
right.
Look, I'm not saying they think he's a bust. There's a difference.
43? Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
How many yards do you have?
635.
635. It's over 10 yards a catch. I don't know what you
– Well, again, there's a difference 43? In being disappointed and being thinking a guy's a bust.
Well, I don't think you should be disappointed either.
Okay.
I guess
got one touchdown on a team that can't score with no receivers. So
okay, so they got no receivers, so they roll all their coverage.
Need to have
off
a little bit more.
All on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that I don't know. I haven't watched
it
to the point. Point
no
is
running game, no receivers. They've got Kyle Pitts.
That's about it.
So
yeah,
and listen, I wouldn't have drafted him fourth if I were the Falcons. I would have taken a quarterback.
Third.
Oof. Wherever I would have taken one. You know,
I wasn't fourth.
They could have.
Niners draped at 3 or 4.
3. I think he was 4th.
Yeah, 4th.
You know, you're talking about Mac Jones, Justin Fields.
Well, it's easy to say after. I would still take Pitts over Fields, maybe not over Mac Jones the way he's playing. And the Falcons.
Pitts was 4th.
Look, they need him.
Is Matt Ryan going to be their quarterback next year?
I would think.
Okay.
I would think probably this year is the year they draft and they go with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is just, you know, he's just okay. You know, he's just been okay the last couple of years.
You watch him a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
So.
They haven't
just
drafted
okay.
a backup in years. They haven't drafted one.
He's not the same player that was the
MVP.
NFL MVP.
Right, no.
Right?
No,
okay.
Yeah, of course not.
I wonder why that, like, and Matt Ryan is committed to the game. I wonder why that happens. Like, again, it just puts gives Brady just that much more. But you wonder why Matt Ryan can't continue.
I don't know.
He had Julio and Ridley.
Happened to Matt Ryan, where it started going wrong for Matt Ryan, it really happened a couple years ago. He became mistake prone. Like,
yeah.
They would lose games because of him.
Right.
Like, that had not happened before. In the past, he'd drive them down, and they'd lose a game because of the defense or because of a turnover, because of something dumb. But the last couple of years, you know, the Falcons have been in positions. Shoot, he had a game at the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, where he literally had like three picks in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
They get the ball, have a chance, he turned it over. They get the ball, have a chance, he turned it over. So I think it's a combination of factors. But right now, with no Ridley, and as you said, Julio Jones gone, and Pitts being a rookie, and no running game to speak of, his performances, especially the last couple of weeks, have corresponded with all those issues.
Well, it's week 12 of the National Football League, and as always, lots of good games to take a look-see at. And, boy, you can pretty much run through. But the Bucks-Colts is intriguing to me. I've started to watch the Hard Knocks in season. People forget that that's on.
Yeah, they do forget. Somebody told me that the other day, and I even like accused them, well, that's not HBO. You're watching it on Amazon or something, but it is HBO.
I mean, I just Hard Knocks, and I wanted to watch the first one because it was against the Jags.
Okay.
That's when they started it. And as we anticipated, when the Colts, remember the Colts were 4-5, and Frank Reich, he's got a little Urban in him and the psychological ploy. Does anybody know what this is? This is a staff conducts electricity, how we handle the good and the bad, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
How does that stuff work?
I don't know. I sit there and I scratch my head. I mean, you're talking to a bunch of football players, but nonetheless, he has rallied them back, and he told them, you know, don't give up on us at 1-4. They kind of ran through the season in the first part, and then it was Jacksonville week, and Jonathan Taylor's been a focal point. And you remember Wentz's wife had the baby, so that was a big deal. So it's pretty cool that you're in season with everything going on.
I was
going
to say, at least that's something. Now, are they going to do it for the rest of the year? They do it for a 4-week period? What are they doing?
I don't know.
That, to me, sounds much more interesting than what had become the cliche.
But anyway, this
the Hard Knocks in the preseason has become Survivor.
It's the same show every year.
Just different people.
But what was cool was, so they go to Buffalo, and obviously they chronicle Frank Reich's relationship in Buffalo. He was the author of the greatest comeback in NFL history in the playoffs against Houston years ago. But anyway, so he goes to dinner when they arrive there Saturday night. He goes to dinner with Tasker and Bruce Smith, and he was talking about a certain game that the Bills played against the Dolphins in Miami where they were down 21-0. They came back and won in overtime, and that really started the franchise's 4-year run of going to the Super Bowls, and he thought that was the moment. And so he was telling his team, the Colts team, this can be your moment. Let's go beat the Buffalo Bills, who are thought of as the best team in the AFC. And they went out there and beat the living heck out of them, right? I mean, and Jonathan Taylor had a 5-touchdown game and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, as I watch this, I'm now curious to see what his message will be, because they turn around and now they got the Bucks.
That's a tough schedule.
In Indy. Yeah. And I think the Colts, just in watching those two episodes, are playing good football and they're together, and I think they have a legitimate shot at beating the Bucks. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we kind of thought that Buffalo was on the way down, but they responded at New Orleans on Thanksgiving night. I will say this for the Thanksgiving ball. We got good games, at least, for the first time in a while. Detroit fought. You know, they weren't going to win. They ended up losing.
How did you feel as you watched that Detroit-Chicago game, knowing that you had – they're down on the goal line, and all of a sudden you see him take a knee.
Yeah.
I'm jumping up and down like a little kid.
Well, I had
him
minus three, and they were down two. Yeah.
So
I needed the touchdown there for sure. But.
My mother was like, I thought you were rooting for Detroit. I said, I'm rooting for Detroit as long as
it's less than three.
Yeah. Chicago wins by two. Yeah. I'm just very happy.
That's where the flow of a football game and the coach of a football team doesn't really give a rat's rip what the point spread is or what anyone else did.
All you got to do is run it in.
That Chicago felt like they were about to win that game by 10 all day, and they just never did.
Yeah.
So, it's not been a great week in the Friday Five Pack, but that's another feature for another show.
No, we're talking about the football.
But
going
that was
on.
One that I had.
The Raiders
yeah.
beating the Cowboys was a big surprise until you realize who the Cowboys are missing right now. So they're not in a panic. They're missing a lot. They're a good defense, but they're missing a lot of their defensive guys. So they're not. You know, they're giving up a lot of points, but it was a great win for the Raiders.
That Micah Parsons can play some ball.
He's good.
Every year there's a guy like that
he's already won the defense.
Where, hey, man, why
year.
Do we take him? Right, yeah. Not the Jags in this case. And Parsons was a first-rounder. Was he like between 11 and 20?
11th, I believe he was. Yeah. So.
And he wears number 11. Is that why? Probably.
Maybe. All right, let's do this. We are here. We're going to talk to Hayes Carline. Next, we're tailgaters. It's the Wingstop Kickoff Show. We'll go behind enemy lines when we return here on a Sunday. Jags-Falcons coming up 1 o'clock. It's Armageddon Sunday. Win now or else.
Now let's go behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy lines.
Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
All right, it's time to go behind enemy lines. So we bring in our chief correspondent/spy.
Yes.
Hayes Carline. I feel, you know, I mean, I don't mean to big time you, Hayes, but when it comes to expert witness in Atlanta failure, he's already on the air here this morning. Nobody knows how bad the Falcons could be like I do. But, man, I look, if you had to pick a get-well game for a team that's had a hard time getting anything rolling, then you would handpick the Atlanta Falcons in their current condition. They have been god-awful the last 2 weeks, and they've been god-awful in areas that the Jags could stand to improve on. So how do you look at things as we sit here 3.5 hours out from kickoff?
Yeah, good morning to you, gentlemen. Yeah, it's. I think that's how you have to look at it. The Jaguars are only going to beat teams that can't score, because I don't think you're going to see the Jaguars get to a point this season where they're consistently getting in the high 20s. I mean, it's shocking, but the Jaguars have not scored more than 23 points in a game this season, and they play 10 of these things now. So, I mean, just to give you an example, the Falcons...
And they've had kick returns, you know,
yeah,
I mean...
Right. The Falcons, who have lost their offense, have scored over 23 points 5 times in 10 games. So, but this is a game that lines up well for the Jaguars, because they if they're going to win games down the road, it's going to be 16-13, 9-6, like we saw against Buffalo. It's going to have to be that kind of game. So, yeah, you're facing a Falcons team that has scored 3 points in its last two outings, and you know, and now goes on the road. So yeah, you would think that this is a game that the Jaguar defense is playing pretty well and should be able to keep Atlanta to a manageable number, and then you just hope that, you know, Trevor can generate, you know, maybe 17 legitimate, you know, points, and it'd be great if the defense or special team gives you something, but you know, win a game 17-16, somewhere in there, 17-14.
Falcons are another team, Hayes, to give an example of it. It's tough to have staying power in the NFL. You know, it's hard to be the Steelers or Packers or Patriots or, you know, pick the handful of teams that seem to be a playoff contender every year, no matter what, no matter where they are on their growth chart, who their quarterback is. And, you know, the Falcons still have an MVP quarterback from a team that blew the Super Bowl, yet they are nowhere near the level that they were a few years back.
What's really surprising to me about Atlanta is how the weapons have just all gone away. Now, some of that is not their fault. Calvin Ridley's going through something, and certainly he's a talented player. You know, but they get rid of Julio Jones, and now you're looking at leaning on a rookie tight end in Kyle Pitts, who yardage-wise has been fantastic. He surprisingly hasn't gotten into the end zone. It's weird how Atlanta, it's like, whoever their best receiver is, never scores. Like
that's
Julio
a good
Jones
point. Yeah,
never scores. And now Kyle Pitts has 43 catches and one touchdown. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If there's some sort of weird curse going on there with Atlanta's passing game. But so I think you look at the lack of weapons. Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, you know, I commend him for the season that he's having, but, I mean, he has been an absolute journeyman. And he's been in the league a long time now, and you know he's somebody that, you know, they're really having to lean on. So that's been the surprising thing to me is I guess just how quickly the weapons that they had around Matt Ryan went away, and you know, he's just not at the point in his career, and maybe he never has really been, where he can elevate mediocre players around him. I mean, he needs talent. And, you know, I think it's reflecting in his numbers, and they can't really protect him. So you got to think if you're Josh Allen and company today, you feel like, you know where Matt Ryan's going to be. He's not going to move off of his spot. He doesn't have a lot of mobility. So, you know, you can kind of have a target in mind in terms of where you need to get, and he's probably going to be there. And so that should be really enticing today for the Jaguars pass rush.
Hayes, I hate to say this, and it doesn't make sense that it's a statement game for a two-win team, but if not now, when, Hayes? I mean, in all honesty, I mean, the Falcons roll in here, haven't gotten their tails handed to them, and I know they're going to play harder, and I know, but listen, if we're a real NFL team, and that's one of the things I'm looking for this year, I know it's all about Trevor's development, but I desperately want a football team to get to you know, 5 or 6 wins. And if you can't win this game today at home against Atlanta that scored 3 points in 2 weeks and that is down and can't seemingly run the football, I'm done with this football team for this year. I'm ready to pack up the balls and take away any of the hope. This is one that Jacksonville absolutely must win today. Not play well, not compete, not lose on a last-second field goal. Jacksonville needs to beat the Atlanta Falcons here at home because after this they go to L.A., they go to Tennessee. Those don't really bode well for us. So I would think that this is a game where you've got to get a W to keep – you know, you want to talk about culture and locker room and all that. Well, if your locker room really believes in each other and your culture's right, you win this game.
I think so, too. And it gets, if they don't win today, it gets harder to pull any positivity out of a win over Miami and a win over Buffalo. In fact, they will have followed up the Buffalo upset with three mm-hmm. consecutive losses, which basically takes all of that away. So,
right.
I agree. To me, it's a crossroads game. If you're able to win today, okay,
right.
Now you're 3-3 in your last six. That's certainly acceptable for where this franchise is right now and its growth. And you're right. You then, you know, figure you're probably losing your next two on the road. We'll see. You'd like to think they'll beat Houston here, but maybe that's just a game where if Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback, it's just a bad matchup. And maybe, you know, Houston wins. The Jets on the road, you don't know how the team responds Christmas on the road, but you'd like to think they have a good chance against the Jets. At New England's going to be a loss, and you don't know what the Colts are going to be playing for in the finale, but if they're playing for something, they're going to win. Now, if they're not playing for anything, if they already have their seed wrapped up or they're out of it and have no chance, then, you know, then the Colts will probably lay an egg here. But in terms of getting wins that feel like legitimate wins, this is one that they absolutely need to get. I mean, you know, it's sad to say, but how often are they in a 1-point game that, you know,
right.
that Vegas decides is a 1-point spread? That doesn't happen around here very often. So, yeah, this is one you need to take advantage of. Because next week, the spread's going to be 12.5 in L.A., if not higher.
We've talked a little bit about how they should attack the Falcons. How would you game plan the Jaguars' offense? I mean, on one hand, we could sit here and go, well, Trevor may finally have time to throw. They don't have much of a pass rush. But on the other hand, maybe we should just ground and pound. You get O'Shaughnessy back. You got man hurts. You use all these tight ends. You load up in the box, and you try to attack them that way. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I have no confidence that the Jaguars can generate any sort of a consistent passing attack for 60 mm-hmm. minutes. I mean, they might hit a play here and there,
right.
but it's not a Trevor issue. I just think that they've done a lousy job of building the receiving core. They just weren't built to have attrition. And again, this is a number I keep coming back to. If you had told us, you know, before training camp started, that DJ Chark and Travis Etienne would have 7 touches combined this season, which is what it's going to end up being, you would have been like, ouch, this has a chance to really get off the tracks. And it has. I mean, I think that they've done a very poor job of filling those gaps, and it shows. So even though Atlanta is a team that certainly is ripe to be attacked through the air, I mean, they've allowed opposing quarterbacks to throw 20 touchdowns and they've only intercepted 4 passes. It leads to 106.2 rating. I mean, that's very enticing, but I just don't think the Jaguars have the weapons around Trevor to really make that happen. I mean, again, this is a team that gets Dan Arnold bracketed. That's how lousy the supporting cast is in Jacksonville, that the opponent looks at Dan Arnold and says, we've got to bracket him.
It's just a bunch of ums. What do you
tickled me, sorry.
I'm curious where we are on DJ Chark moving forward. I mean, has DJ injured himself into it's a no-brainer one-year deal here in Jacksonville? Is that something the Jags want to do? Will there be a market for DJ Chark? You know, what are your thoughts? Because I do think this, to your point, look, you can be as down on DJ Chark as you want. In his absence, it's been proven how much they missed him. I mean, I think DJ Chark gets a little bit of a bad rap. No one's saying he's the top 5 receiver in the league, but he's also not terrible, which is apparently what we now employ at the position.
Exactly. And I think his value has gone up a little bit in his absence. Now, league-wide, it hasn't. the injury is really going to hurt his value. So yeah. I do think it makes sense for Urban Meyer to instruct Trent Baalke, let's go ahead and start a negotiation here with his agent. Nothing's going to happen. His value's not going to change. I mean, the injury is what it is. So if you're DJ side of it, and I think he likes it here, then I think he would be interested in at least getting, you know, some sense of security. But injured players that get put out on the market, it's usually not what they expect. And so I don't think he's going to get some crazy offer from one of the other 31 clubs. So if the Jaguars came in at, you know, maybe like a 2-year, $16 million, you know, seven of that's guaranteed. You know, if you're DJ Chark, I think you'd have to listen to that. I think it makes sense because if you re-sign DJ Chark, then I think you go into the offseason saying you're going to sign a free agent that's a one. You're going to draft a receiver very high that can be your two or pair with DJ Chark.
For
that's
him.
Your
yeah.
three.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go get Devontae Adams or go get throw whoever. Make them tell you no, you're going to throw them so much money. Right. And, I think we're down to the point is, that, you know, we got a LaVisca Chenault problem. I mean, we got a guy that plays 70 plays a week and is terrible. Not his average, is terrible. I mean, what a misread on the talent on draft day, and what a disappointment that no progress or improvement has been made.
Yeah, it really needs to get better for LaVisca. And again, I think, you know, Marvin Jones can be your four next year. LaVisca can be your five if he even makes the team, you know, and Jamal Agnew will be your returner. But to me, that's I would incorporate DJ Chark into it. I'm not counting on LaVisca Chenault getting really any better. I think he's an NFL player. I don't think he should be, like, out of the league. But I think the days of relying on him to be a, you know, a 1,000-yard, you know, offense contributor, I think you can forget about that. He's just not athletic enough to make that
I had
happen.
All the opportunity this year. I mean, really, if you want to focus in on they haven't passed and guys don't get open, bevel scheme, whatever the rookie quarterback, 1,000 different things you could come up with. But, I mean, this was a guy who – and he's been healthy, right? The knock before was he's unhealthy, boy, if you get him. And he's been given that opportunity this year. And it just and again, I don't put this on LaVisca Chenault. I put it on a stupid GM – and a stupid scouting staff that went and drafted a guy in round two that none of us had heard of and told us how good he was. What a joke. All the receivers that went after LaVisca Chenault last year, we'd be so much better. We should be angry. What a joke, man. Hey, it's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, again, the only solace in any of that is that they were so bad that it landed Trevor Lawrence. Now it's up to this administration to build around them. Because, yeah, I mean, I we wanted in the C.J. Henderson, Kalyvon Chaisson draft, it's going to go down as one of the worst in NFL history. You know, they could have had C.D. Lamb at 9. They could have had Justin Jefferson. I mean, but if they make those picks, they're probably not bad enough to land Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing. But, you know,
Shumadia, anyone?
Yeah. We've survived it. And now the key is, can they build it around Trevor? And so far, in year one, they're going to get a big fat F.
Well, that's why I'm such an advocate of trading some of those draft picks for established players, because you have to understand your weaknesses if you can't draft well and you know there's an established player out there. And that's why I was a little disappointed, quite honestly, at this year's trade deadline that the Jaguars chose not to do anything and stand pat. I'm talking long term. I'm talking deal a third rounder or a second rounder for somebody who you know will help your team for the next 4 or 5 years, sign him to a contract, and let's go and take one of those needs off the table because, Hayes, as we go into the offseason, and we'll do that in a couple months, but obviously we're going to have a ton of needs again. I mean, that's just obvious.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be needs everywhere, and receiver is going to be the biggest one. And, you know, I agree. I think if Michael Thomas, you know, if New Orleans is ready to move on and he's ready, you can get Michael Thomas for, you know, a third this year and maybe a fifth next year. I mean, I don't know what the price tag will be, but he hasn't played in a year and a half. So it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be 2-1. You know, yeah, I think absolutely you would consider doing that with, you know, he's got plenty of years left. But that's the thing. Those are the things they're going to have to do. I mean, my confidence is a little shaken based on what we saw this year in free agency and, really, to be honest, what we've seen so far in the draft beyond Trevor Lawrence.
Hayes, appreciate it as always, my man. Thank you so much.
Who you got today, Hayes? Who you got?
All right, I'm going to take the Falcons. I'll say
you learned
Falcons.
Your lesson last week, right?
We all thought I learned my lesson.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll say Falcons 16-10.
Well, then I'm calling your show Monday and asking you who the Jags should draft.
Yeah, Dan has decided that if we lose today, we're going full blown draft talk starting Monday. Not even going to preview the LA game. Yeah, we're going to get into that.
See you, buddy.
That's Hayes Carline behind enemy lines. We'll put a wrap on today's fantastic program.
Oh.
The award shows are calling right now asking for clips. We'll lead you into network pregame. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. That's when, as I'm told, the professionals take over.
Correct.
In the meanwhile, we'll come back, put a little spin on today's number via Las Vegas with BetUS. Handicapping report, and put a wrap on our portion of today's Jaguars game day pregame. So we're at the Wingstop Kickoff Show live at Tailgaters.
The Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Duval County.
Oh, you two are. Oh, no, that's right.
Loves the Jaguars.
I don't know what you're doing. What are you?
Duval
mashing up
County.
Now? Yeah, we don't need a Hicken mashup. That
loves
would be best.
The Jaguars.
Right now. We do have, however, tis the season. We got a giveaway, right?
Oh.
You've had enough turkey for now. How about another bird with feathers?
Wings.
We'll give away.
Wingstop.
I mean, that's a big. Hammer, what are we giving away, man?
So it's a Wingstop tailgate party pack. It's 50 boneless or classic wings with up to 4 flavors, 2 large fries, 2 veggie sticks, 4 dips that feeds up to
Boom.
6 to 9 people.
Caller number 1 right now, 641-1010. You got to call. Got to be quick.
Bang.
You get it, and you're happy. Who do you like today? The BetUS pick of the week.
Listen, I like the Jags, man. I don't like either team's long-term prognosis or if they were playing, I don't know, 28 other teams in the league. I'm not sure I would say it. But,
right.
I mean, you're at home against a terrible football team. I think it's all going to be dependent, reliant on what kind of intensity Jacksonville comes with. If they play like they have played in their wins, they'll win.
Yeah. I like the under.
Oh, well. That's probably,
I think that's the play here.
That's probably not.
I think the Jags defense will slow down the Falcons, and I don't know what the Jags offense could do against anybody in the National Football League, but I'd like a Jags win. It's Armageddon Sunday, gang. It's Armageddon Sunday.
You've
right
drawn
here,
the line
right
in
now.
The sand.
The line has been drawn in the sand, Jacksonville. The Jags, this is on you. Give one to the fans today, and we'll be back tomorrow morning to talk about it, Pross. What do you say?
Yes, we will. That'll do it to it. We turn it over to Network Pregame Show.